Well, isn't it good to come together? How wonderful it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. And you know, it's not unity of emotion, it is unity of the Spirit. It's as we come together in unity of the Spirit. And you know, it's just one of the highlights, I have to say, of my week is that when we come every Thursday morning to Woman to Woman. And I would just offer an invitation to any of you women out there that don't attend and you might have nothing to do on a Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. We'd love to have you come and share with us. We have a wonderful time. And one of the joys Kayleen and I were talking about the other day is when we first arrived to hear the women all come together happily, chatting together, rejoicing, sharing together, and there's lots of laughter. And laughter is an expression of joy. And joy is a very, very important thing in our walk with God. And it's just wonderful to see little Christian and Ada playing happily and seeing them laughing. And you know, there's a point that's been made that a child laughs 400 times a day on average, while adults only laugh about 15 on average. So no wonder Jesus said that we need to be as little children. We need to laugh more. But we need to laugh not at things, but laugh with joy, a joy that is living within us. Laughter and joy has been told to be very, very good for our health. It releases good endorphins from our brain and it helps us breathe better. It helps our heart rate to function better. It's also proven that people that laugh live longer. And there's a definite link between cheerful outlook and longevity. And so we know that these things are so important in our lives. And the dictionary defines joy as an emotion evoked by well-being, success or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. The expression or exhibition of such emotions, a state of happiness. And let us look and see the biblical understanding of that. And so we know that, joy is an emotion, but sometimes we get caught up in waiting for an emotion before we feel, before we know. But it's about standing in faith and exercising joy, letting joy come, and then we get the feeling. You know, we've come here this morning and I just love, the team did a great job, and I just love that chorus, you know, that supernatural praise. And I spoke about praise a few months ago. It may have been last year now. Time goes that quickly. But it's a supernatural praise. It's not something that we conjure up from our emotion. It's something that comes out of our spirit. And again, on Thursday at our ladies, Kayleen brought a very, very good word on the sacrifice of praise. And it was very, very good, very powerful. And it further confirmed to me the word that I was to bring this morning about this joy and about this. It's a supernatural joy. And we see our theme for the year is about fire. Well, the fire of the Spirit brings joy, a supernatural joy rising up in my heart. The joy of the world is very fickle and it's very temporary. And it depends on what's happening around. And so if people get up and they've had a good day, they can feel joyful. But if they've got up and they haven't had a good day, well, things can be the opposite. And it reminds me of a story that was encountered of a man who went into a doctor's surgery and he had to have something done to his arm. And he walked in and the lady at the desk, the attending nurse, took his name and she said to him, go down the corridor, turn into the right room and take your clothes off down to your underwear. And he said, but excuse me, nurse, I've just come in about my arm. Go down the hall, the corridor, turn into the first room on the right and take off your clothes to your underwear. And he said, but down, she said. And so he thought, well, I can't argue with that attitude, I'd better go. So down he went and stripped off his clothes in this little cubicle. And down into his underwear, and then he went into this other room to see another man sitting there shivering. And he said, oh, I don't know what's going on here. He said, I've only come in with a sore arm. And they told me to come in and strip down to my underwear. And the guy said, well, you think that's bad? I came to bring a computer part. So the thing is that when we don't have joy and when we're not focused on the Lord, we can become very dry and brittle and very focused on what we think is going to happen. And you see that sometimes, don't you? In fact, sometimes people don't even look up to lift their eyes to look at you because they're so focused on what they're going to do and what they're going to say and where they're at rather than experiencing this wonderful joy. The Old Testament speaks about the joy, and it was associated with worship to God. And we know that we come here every Sunday morning to worship God. It's not about us, it's about Him. But the wonderful thing is that as we get lost in Him, then it becomes about what we receive. We receive so much. And even this morning, you know, as we were singing these songs and praising, I was thinking, you know, sometimes when it gets into that real deep time of worship, people tend to switch off. And I was thinking, even as I was sitting here, you know, if something's going on around you, say, for instance, you're in the city and some important person comes along, we all want to push in, don't we? We want to push to the front so that we can see this person. Or it horrifies me every year when they have the Meijer Boxing Day sales and I see people literally throwing themselves into these stores to fight, almost like, nearly like animals, some of them, to get a bargain. But they push in. How much more, not as dramatically as that, but should we push in, not on the outside but inside? And you see, when this joy is inside, when the fire of the Spirit comes and builds this joy within us, then there is that explosion, isn't there? And there's that desire. How can you sit still when the joy of the Lord is within you? And so it depends on our focus. It depends on our relationship. And so we don't come here to become motivated. We need to bring that here. We need to, when we wake up in the morning, as we woke up this morning and it was chilly and you think you want to lay there. But, you know, we were sharing with one another what a joy it is to be alive, to know that the parts of our bodies move, that we can see, that we can express love to God and love to one another. God has given us everything, everything. We heard as Joshua shared around communion, Jesus died on the cross to give us life, and that life is joy. And last week, while John and I weren't here, our brother Pastor Lewis spoke about peace. And we know, it says in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy and peace. And the Lord Jesus and the Father knew exactly what we need. So the first attribute is love. The first fruit is love. If we have love, then joy will fill up with inside us. If we have joy, we will have peace. We will have long-suffering. These are all part of that abundant life. Jesus said, the thief comes to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance. Do you know you have that abundant life today? Are you expressing that abundant life? The abundance, the fire of the Spirit that brings that abundant love, that abundant joy. And this morning I'm focusing on joy. And you know, we all desire to see people saved. We would say that's our call in life. That's our mandate, to witness to the lost and to see them saved. But you see, without joy, we're not going to see much happen, because people don't always listen to what we say, but they see what we are, who we are. John and I were over in the street again on Friday, and I love that when I go to the butchers and this particular young man serves me, because I sow in there every time I go. I don't go to him every week, but when I go, I talk. And he really, in fact, I notice now he'll sort of push in to serve me because I bring a word of encouragement. And he said to me before, you always seem to be so happy. You always seem to be so joyful. Now, I'm sure he sees me walk sometimes and it doesn't look terribly attractive, but I'm thankful that he sees more than that. He sees the joy, because this supernatural joy, well, it's a praise, but this joy that is God, because God has given us everything in Jesus Christ. So we are, of all people, most rich. And so joy is an integral part of the kingdom of God. and it exists wherever believers are sown into him. But if you don't have a living relationship with God in these other times of your life, then that joy will not be fed. It will not be growing. And so doing God's will brings us a great joy, doesn't it? Whatever we do for God, if God calls us to do something, it brings joy. Not only seeing people saved, but it may be calling us to do something that we've not done before, to come and bring a word, to share communion, to serve communion, to stand on the door and greet people. It brings a joy. It brings an exuberance in our heart because we're doing it for the one who called us. And so it's so important to feel this sense of joy. The Apostle Paul, we know, dealt with a lot of things in his life, but he had a joy. He said, rejoice, and again I say, rejoice always. There was a pastor who was leaving his church, and he left a parting word to his people. It was a very penetrating word, and it was probably something that they didn't expect. And he said, whatever you do, don't miss the joy. Many miss it, but don't miss the joy. But you see, if you have the power of God within you, if you have the Spirit alive in you, then the joy is there. But you see, we can miss it because we can look at other things and see them as bigger. We can allow things to cast us down. We can allow things to take us aside from that joy. And Robbie Louis Stevenson, at his life's end, said, to miss the joy is to miss everything. The joy in everything. The joy in knowing Christ. And then the joy of loving those around you. The joy of seeing the beauty of God's creation all around us. And you see, so many times people get things mixed up and they say, but you don't understand, I'm going through a very difficult time. You know, I've got heartache, I've got sickness, I've got all these things. Of course, these things have to be acknowledged. But you see, the first focus needs to be on the Spirit within us and allowing him to bring this joy. Even Eula, as she came on Thursday, and I knew that her brother was, or some of us knew that her brother was in a very bad way, and we'd been praying for him and for the family. And she came into ladies, and she came up to me, and she said, he passed away early this morning. And so there was obviously that sadness that her brother had gone, but also that joy that he'd been taken away from his suffering. And she'd had opportunity to share with him again, as she'd done before. And she went to him and shared some deep things with him, and there was a response from him. And so she said that she felt a deep sense of joy, even in the loss of his life, because Jesus was still with her. Jesus is still in control of all things. And so it's the Spirit that brings us joy. And so, you know, I have my aches and pains. We all have those. But the thing is, there is joy because I have life. We have life. Just because we have aches and pains, because we have difficulties come in our life, nothing can quench that joy if we are feeding on him, if we are spending time in him. Joy works as a magnet in bringing other people and showing other people. It really thrilled me to see those little clips that Pastor Chris brought back, as it would you, to see those little children standing, singing. They don't have overheads and all these things, but they sing because they've captured something. They've captured a joy in their heart of Jesus Christ. And to see the way they're growing there, it just thrills our hearts, doesn't it? But the thing that I want us to focus on today about this joy is from John 15 and from verse 9. And it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, and this is the key. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, in the name of my Father, he will give you. This is the command, love one another. And you see, love brings joy. I don't know about you, but when I see the little children coming out and collecting their coins, and little Christian, and then now to see Ezekiel come out the front, and other little ones, Ada, it brings such a joy because we love them. We've invested into these children. We've invested into one another. And the joy of knowing that that money goes to these precious children that some of us may never see this side of heaven, but we know that we're investing into their lives. Does that not fill your heart with joy? And yet so often we get disconnected, don't we? We get disconnected when we need to really be connected in. Circumstances can't take our joy. It's a choice. As I said before, we all go through difficult times in life, but we are all overcomers through Christ who loves us. And we have to remember that no matter what happens to us, that God is with us in that very moment. He's closer to us than any other person can be. And it's only as we find him that we find this strength. And then we can laugh and we can rejoice in the midst of all things. I got an email a few months ago from a young man across over in America. And I'd been standing with him and the family praying for his wife who had terminal cancer. She was in stage 4 cancer. And they've got had three little daughters. And just to hear him share about Rachel's faith and about how the pain would ravage her body, but then this awesome smile would come over her face as he laid hands on her and prayed with her, and the spirit would take over and there would be that overcoming, and that she would say to him, yes, that he would say to her sometimes, what's it like? And she would say, I can't explain it to you what the pain's like. But when I centre on the Spirit of God, when I know Jesus is with me, this joy floods my soul. And the room would just be filled with this joy of her laughter and her expression of love for the Lord. And so we see that God meets us at those times. Have you ever known those times when you've either been in pain or you felt lonely or you felt left or a bill has come in and your heart starts to bang because you don't know how you're going to pay for it? If you centre on those things, they will overcome. You see, it says in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it in abundance. And it's when you reach that overcoming that we have that abundance. And we went through it, ladies, about all of the areas. And, you know, all through the scripture, it says about God is abundant in mercy, he's abundant in love, he's abundant in overcoming. All of these things, if we know where to look, we find the abundance of God. There are 214 uses of the word joy through the NIV Bible. Nearly a quarter of those are found in the Psalms. So that means there's still nearly 200 or 150 odd from other parts of the scripture. That's how important joy is. You know, go through and look at all the things about joy in the Old and the New Testament. And David was a great one, wasn't he, to speak about knowing the joy that overcame. It was the glory and the lifter of his head that God brought this joy to him when his soul was downcast and he felt he was broken. And so we have to have this inspired determination, just as Paul did. And he said in Philippians 2:17 and 18, he said, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise also should you be glad and rejoice with me. So Paul was saying even in those situations there was joy. And we know the story, don't we, of when he and the others were put in stocks and bonds in prison Now, I've got no doubt that there were moments when the flesh would start to work and Paul would think about where he was and how hopeless, but then this awesome, when he centred on God, his God, when he centred on the power of the Spirit, then this joy came and he was able to rejoice. And so we know what happened, that the gates opened and they were free. The only thing that can really steal your joy is sin. And so we know the Word of God gives us an answer to that too. So if we sin, we then put ourselves in a bad place. And so we then quench the Spirit. But then the Word of God says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So how silly would we be to stay in that position? But you know, the hardest part is when we do something wrong, when we fail God, we feel so unworthy. And we need to feel that. We need to feel sorrowful and we need to repent. But God is such a gracious, loving God that he cares. His love is unconditional and he's true to his word. That once we confess our sin, if we are broken and we determine not to do that again, he reinstates us back into that place. And so we of all people can be most generous with others. How dare I keep something from someone or hold my forgiveness when God has forgiven me for so much? Not only what I've done and I know, but what I'm still going to do. Because we do these things, we fail in many ways, and sin isn't always something we deliberately do. It can be a feeling or a thought or an attitude. And so God wants to quicken us to that. He wants to remind us of those things and show us that his love is able to sustain us even then. And so if we find we're experiencing less and less joy in our lives, and not only here, but in our lives at home, then we need to evaluate where we are with Christ. We need to think about how much time are we spending with him or how much time we're spending in other things, doing other things, thinking other things. I wake up of a morning, if it may be 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and there's a song of praise in my heart because that's how I go to sleep. I go to sleep praising God, praying to him. I read his word. And so therefore there's that joy, that wonderful joy. And if there is an issue that comes into your life, we can pray about it. But then the word of the Lord says it comes and he says, lay it all down, as Muriel brought in that song. Lay it all down at the feet of Jesus who loves you so much. Give it to him and then he will give you that rest that your body so needs, because we all need sleep. We all need that. And so again I would say, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. A completed joy to know that we are loved of the Father, that we've been saved of Jesus, that we are filled with the Spirit. This is the fire. This is the fire that burns this love within us. And there is nothing but nothing that can quench that. Our emotions, yes, they can be swayed all over the place depending on what we feel. But if we know this supernatural love, this supernatural joy, this supernatural peace that comes from the Spirit of God, then we will be of all people most joyful. We will be all people most useful to the Father. He has called us and appointed us to do his will. And his will is to glorify him in everything we do and everything we say. And you know, I hear people say, well, I don't have to raise my hands to praise God. I can praise God in my heart. Well, so that is so. But when this joy is there, when you feel love for someone, don't you want to express it? When your husband or your wife or your children come, don't you want to touch them? Don't you want to express that love? Don't you smile? It just naturally brings a smile. So how is it that you can stand like that in the presence of an almighty God when this song is rising up within you, this praise is rising up within you, We need to open ourselves up as we lift our hands. It's not only glorifying God, we are opening ourselves up for His Spirit to come and pour into us. Now, I know there are many people here, or some people here, that may have other things. I'm happy to talk to you about that after, because the Word of God is truth and it doesn't lie. And the Word of God, I can imagine that Paul and Silas, when they were in stocks, but they'd have still been moving their fingers. Life brings movement. It brings joy. You know, even though I can't dance much, I get around my lounge room praising God and dancing in Him, offering Him this praise. And that's what the sacrifice of praise is. We don't always feel like it. But once we get into it, the feeling comes. And then we overcome, because the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And so we no longer focus on the problem. We focus on Him, the overcomer, the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to His power that works in me. You know, church, God is wanting you to release that joy, that power that's within you. And, you know, as I really thought about this word over these last weeks as I've been thinking about coming, and God has confirmed it to me in so many ways, I believe God wants to say to some of you today that you've lost your joy. That you may come along and you want to come in and you want to get in, but somewhere the joy has been lost. Maybe it's because somebody's hurt you deeply, or you're going through a very difficult thing, and you can say, well, look, it's all right about you. Everything's going all right in your life. It's not going all right in my life. Well, that's not true. We all face issues. We all climb mountains and then we face valleys. But the Lord, I believe today, wants to restore your joy to you. He wants us to bring this house down with praise and worship. We sang some awesome choruses this morning that really should have ignited a fire. You know, He's broken down every barrier. And that last day, you know, He's overcome. We've overcome. Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome every situation that you can experience. David, the great psalmist and prophet and king, he understood more about praise and worship and joy in the presence of God than most other people. He found the joy. In Psalm 51:12, he cried out to God, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and upon me with thy free spirit." Where David had got himself into trouble, but he cried out that the Lord would restore to him the joy of his salvation. Salvation must invoke joy in your heart. Think about what you've been saved from. Think about who you've been saved to. Think about this eternity that waits for us. And if we can't express joy here, how are we going to be in heaven? There'll be no room for us to stand there with our hands down and looking down at our feet. You know, now the angels in heaven just spend their whole time praising, glorifying God. And I don't know about you, but when I get caught up in praise, I can almost hear the angels, and it's like I'm singing in unison with them, praising my God. And that's when everything else dies, everything else becomes insignificant. You know, I, like you, we can hear man say, and you can see their mouth moving and saying something. But in here the Spirit says, arise, arise in my strength, know my power. Know my overcoming, know my healing, know my restoration, know my life. This life that cannot be snuffed out no matter what you do. Because the things of God will remain no matter what you do or how you focus. He wants you to know everything. Nehemiah 8:10, what a beautiful scripture. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy is a bounce back power. It's a get back up power. That's what it is. It's a power that calls us to rise above all circumstances. And secondly, joy is, it takes our thoughts from from the mundane. It takes our thoughts from the flesh and raises us in the things of the Spirit, a joy that is complete. In Genesis 49:22, Joseph we see in all of his endeavours, Genesis 49:22, Joseph was able to overcome every wall and every adversity because he was planted by a well, and that means Joseph was continually drawing upon the supply of the joy of the Lord. When you read the story of Joseph, it is awesome when you think about what he went through, and yet there was a joy that could not be extinguished in his heart. And so we go through tests and we go through trials, but this joy is an effervescent. It springs up within us. And so I want you today to really allow the Spirit of God to search your heart and to know that he wants you to get your joy back, whatever it takes. It's so simple. We don't have to physically do anything. We just have to be. We just have to say, stand and say, God, I know you're over all of these things. You, not will, but you have overcome every situation that I'm going through. And so renew unto me the joy of my salvation. It's fanning back into a flame, that flicker that of a spark that becomes. It's we have to fight back. We have to stand in the Spirit and allow God to renew to us the joy of this salvation. Our joy needs to be a blast where we really reach out. And as I said, it's a sacrifice of praise. It's praising. It's being joyful and saying, this body, get online. I remember many, many, many years ago when I first met Nancy Harkin, she spoke at a women's meeting that I went to, and I just fell in love with her. And one of the things, she'd been through a lot of things in her life, and she shared about one day she was struggling to walk, and she said, I'm going to walk and rejoice in God no matter what. And if your legs don't come into obedience and walk, I'll make you dance. And that was her way of saying that she was going to overcome. And she overcome so many things and stood in God and was a very powerful woman for God. And so again, I've told you this so that my joy may remain in you and that your joy might be complete. Where's your joy today? Where's the fire? Is the fire in your belly? Is the fire of the Spirit burning deep within you? Do you know this joy that will set your feet dancing, that will raise your hands and acknowledge him? If people come into this church, what do we want them to see? People come in here broken and they need to find hope, and they find it by what they feel here, what they see here. It's like nothing more wonderful than to pray with someone and stand with someone who's broken and to be able to see their spirits lifted, to see some hope, because in him there is all hope. There is nothing that can be lost. Allow this fire, the Spirit of fire, to burn joy within your heart, that walks with you every day, no matter where you are. Because if we struggle when we're together to let that joy explode out of us, how do we cope when we're on our own? But you see, we're never on our own. If we know what it means to be in Christ, then we're never on our own. We've got him with us everywhere. And you might say, well, it's not my personality to do that. You're a different outgoing sort of a personality. I'm not. It's not about personality. It's about the Spirit of God. You know, when you think of little children, they're not shy. They run up and they dance and they sing. Little Christian runs all around the place and brings us so much encouragement at ladies. And yet as we get older, we lose that because we become self-conscious. We'll become unconscious, not self-conscious. Self-conscious is too much consciousness on yourself. Here he comes up now. Too much conscious is used to being the centre of everything. It's too much consciousness of self. Become abandoned. Don't think about what's around you, who's around you. Become a partaker, not a spectator. And so I would ask today that if you've lost your joy or you're struggling with expressing joy, please come out and talk to us. Come for prayer. Allow the Lord to really move in your heart. I'm going to ask you to stand now. And I've put up on a PowerPoint one of my favourite choruses. I'll get the words here. And I only want you to enter in, and Noel's going to come up and plunk his guitar, I hope. And you can say it or sing it, whatever. But I want you to enter in and really mean these words. Now, they're a chorus, but they're the words of God. They're all in the scripture, every one of them. And so I want you to enter in and express this joy that is complete, this joy that is there for every one of us to be able to. And it's not we're expressing it to one another, we're lifting it to God. But as we do it to God, we encourage one another. There's nothing more wonderful than to look over and see somebody really rejoicing in God. It's catchy, it's enthusiasm. And so it'll go up on the screen now. Okay. You've turned it all around. When I was hurting, now I'm rejoicing. In your love I'm found, for I have joy. You took my pain. You turned my mourning into dancing. I can smile again, for I have joy. Let the sound make a joyful noise unto. Come on, everybody, where's my ma? Him praise, he's good. Come on, my ma. You have given me a joy that won't stop and will never cease. Come on. I will praise you with gladness, for you are good. You have given me a joy that won't stop and will never leave. So I will praise you with gladness, for you are good. For you are good. You've turned my sorrow into gladness. You've turned my sorrow into joy. And now I'm singing and I'm dancing, and I will shout for joy. You turned my sadness into gladness. You turned my sorrow into joy. And now I'm singing and I'm dancing, and I will shout for joy. You have given me a joy that won't stop and will never leave. So I will praise you with gladness, for you are good. You have given me a joy that won't stop and will never leave. So I will praise you with gladness, for you are good. For you are good. For you are good. Thank you. Praise you, mighty God. Glory to you. Father God, we just thank you and praise you that you are a good God and you have given us everything that we need. Father, I pray, Lord God, that your Spirit might stir each heart to know the power and the authority and the overcoming that you have given each one of us who stand cleansed in Jesus Christ. I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit might renew to us this day the joy of our salvation, the wondrous glory and joy and the riches of your grace that you have poured forth into each one of us, and that, Lord God, we might know what it means to be complete in you, to have this joy that is complete, that we might praise you, that we might glorify you, all that we do. Father, be with those this morning who have struggled with this word. Father, I just pray that you would stir their hearts to come, that they would come before your throne of grace and seek you and know you're overcoming in whatever situation it is that they deal with. But we thank you that your love remains, that Jesus, you said that you are with us always, even to the end of the age, through every circumstance that we face, through every sin that we might commit. You are there to restore us, to lift us up, and to stand us strong on the rock. And so we just praise you that we can go today with our hearts rejoicing, for you have given us a joy that won't stop. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you all. Thank you.